Hello and welcome to our University of Strathclyde podcast series, run out of the world-famous School of Education, right in the heart of the beautiful city of Glasgow in Scotland. We bring you a mix of meeting academic interviews, thought pieces, conversations and provocations on all things education, to give you a glimpse into our world-leading education research here at Strathclyde, and of course to stimulate your questions and thinking around the meaning, purpose and practice of education. In schools, in communities, and of course in all our lives.
Hello and welcome to the podcast for the School of Education. And as we mark the end of our 10th anniversary year, I'm really pleased to welcome Linda Brownlow. Linda's our fourth head of school since the school's inception in 2010-11. So welcome Linda, it's really nice to have you today.
Thank you, Claire. Fourth head of school and some hard acts to follow. So trying my best to keep up with the reputation of those who went before me.
Ach, I don't know. We've saved the best till last, maybe, for this year anyway.
Yeah.
So it might be quite helpful for you to give the listeners a wee bit of background about you, maybe what you did before the university, what you've done since you've been at the university. Just give people a flavour of who you are, I suppose.
So from a primary teaching background, in fact, my undergraduate degree was in languages, and I had that choice of do I go into the glamorous world of business and languages or do I go into primary teaching? And I had offers for both and wasn't quite sure, and eventually plumped for primary, and it was the best decision I've ever made. So I taught in primary schools in Weston Barton for a number of years, and was at that stage where I was getting a wee bit, you know, I want to do something a bit different. Went for a senior teacher's post, which we don't have anymore. Went for that and didn't get it, and was really grumpy because I didn't get it. But actually, the person who did get it was much better qualified for it than me. But at that time, there was an advert for a secondment to Jordan Hill College of Education, to the language department, looking at primary. And I thought, well, this will give me a chance to have a wee look and see if there's something else I might be interested in. So I went for that. And halfway through that secondment, I decided this is where I want to be. And this is where I've been ever since, managed to get a permanent post, moved to the primary department, and have just gone on from there. So I've done, you know, different things, certainly came in with that language speciality, but became very much involved in enterprise education in the time of Determined to Succeed. And was involved in the national rollout of all of that, creating materials, training people throughout the country, and even got the chance to write a story. And the story is in one of the enterprise packs that are in schools at the moment. So I did that for a few years, became the director of the Centre for Enterprise and Careers, but all the time keeping the core education bit going, and became course leader for PGDE for 5 years. I was then deputy head of school for two different heads of school, and then have become head of school. So it's been an interesting journey, but it been within the university has given me the opportunity to do so many things that I wouldn't have done when I was in school. So it was definitely a good move.
It's interesting that you had that choice to do the secondary or the primary, and you jumped for the primary.
Absolutely.
What prompted the primary decision?
I don't know. It's really interesting when I think back. I remember my head teacher in primary, and I remember writing an essay. And it was the usual, what do I want to be when I grow up? Mm-hmm. And I wrote this essay about, there were two things I wanted to do. One was I wanted to be Julie Andrews.
Now, why not?
I couldn't sing and I couldn't act, but I wanted to be Julie Andrews. I just thought she was perfect, practically perfect in every way. So I wanted to do that. And if I didn't do that, I wanted to open a cafe that had a sweet shop bit attached to it. And that was my dream. And when I got the essay back, she said nothing about the quality of the writing, nothing about my aspirations. It was, Linda Mackey, if you end up doing that, I will be very disappointed in you. So she came, and she started to say, well, you should be thinking about teaching. And interestingly, years later, when I got my first teaching post, she was the head teacher in the school when I went to teach. And she hadn't seen me since primary seven, but every member of her staff was told about this fabulous new teacher who was coming in. So based on what I did in primary school, suddenly I was going to be this fabulous teacher. So I had to kind of work to to win them round, I suppose. But, you know, I think she was the one that really made me think about that. And, you know, that comment always stuck in my mind.
That's interesting. It's especially interesting when we quite often speak to our applicants to become, you know, to come on our courses about, you know, who's inspired you, who's, you know, what's motivated you towards this.
Yeah.
I don't know that anybody's ever said Julie Andrews, mind you.
No, well, there you go.
So now you say you're head of school, having been deputy to two heads of school before that. And I don't think we should underestimate the role of the PGDE course leader either, given that there's regularly around 1,000 students in a cohort. I mean, that's a massive job.
Yeah.
So I suppose, what prompted you then to want to move to be head of school?
It's really interesting because the reason, and, you know, I talked earlier about the secondment, they were very limited. When I was teaching, there weren't very many opportunities for progression apart from being a head teacher. And in my head, I never, ever wanted to be a head teacher. So now I'm head of school with over 100 staff. Something has changed somewhere over the years, I think. But I think it's probably just, I didn't ever set out to be head of school. And it wasn't by accident, because I think, you know, you can't just let things happen to you. You have to have a plan. But it's just been, I suppose, a growth in my knowledge and the way I've been working within the school, within the faculty, within the university. So that as that growth happened, then I started to think about that. And, you know, we learned a lot of things when I took over PGDE, for example. It was a time of incredible change. And both myself as a new course leader and Amanda Corrigan, who you've spoken with as the BEd course leader at the time, we took on those roles and everybody who had planned the courses had left. So so there was a huge amount of, you know, it was learning by doing, quite literally. We didn't know what we didn't know, but gradually we got that knowledge. We started to put our own stamp in. And I think it's like that. I think as you learn more, you start to put more of yourself into it and you grow as a, you know, as a professional, you grow. So it was almost a kind of natural progression in terms of events. But certainly when it came to the you know, the head of school that I'm doing now, it was the full application process, it was the full interview at faculty and level and with the principal. And it's been an interesting 3 years. And I'm just coming to the end of that 3 years now. So we wait and see what the next few years will bring.
And there's not many folk within the school or even within the faculty that will have the level of institutional knowledge that you've got, and that kind of memory of how things are and how they've progressed and why they work or don't.
And sometimes that's good, because that institutional knowledge is important. Sometimes you need fresh ideas, and that's why it's really important that when we're, you know, the people that I'm working with, people around me are always have new ideas and fresh ideas and challenge the way we're doing things. It's very easy, I think, to slip into, well, we're doing this and it's actually quite good, so we'll keep going. So we need to have that challenge all the time.
I don't think we can ignore the fact that you're our first woman to be head of school. How important is that to you? Certainly it's important to me, but how important is it to you?
Do you know, it's something that I didn't ever think about in going for head of school. And it was only when people said to me, you're going to be the first female head of school. And I thought, well, that's really interesting. So it wasn't my mission, but I was really proud to do that. And I hope that I have represented women well. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing was, of course, for a number of years, every head of school has been a professor, has been an academic. So I was the first person to come from a different type of contract. Now, that's not to say that teaching is any more important than the research and the knowledge exchange activity that we do. But again, it's representing other people and so that they know that whatever type of contract they're on within the school or within the university, there are routes for promotion for them and there are leadership opportunities for them. And I think it encourages people to think about that. And that's really important to me, that everybody gets a fair shot at it, if you like.
Mm-hmm. So I suppose, you know, there's a lot of I was going to say pleasure. I don't know the pleasure's the word, is it? I was going to say there's a lot to be had from being head of school. Satisfaction maybe is the word.
Yeah.
But that doesn't come without challenges. So what do you reckon the biggest challenges have been to being head of school?
I think it's that self-belief. And that's something that has grown over the years, because you're never going to please everybody. You know, whether it's colleagues within the school or it's the faculty or the wider university. So I think, if you truly believe in something, it's almost fighting your corner, and that's really important. And that's something I would say I've got much better at as the years have gone on. I think, not the challenge, it's maybe just that opportunity to represent the school within the university and externally. And I think that's something that has happened in the last few years that we have. You know, we went through, when we moved from Jordan Hill to become part of a faculty, we kind of got lost externally. People thought teacher education was gone, that we weren't doing it anymore. And there was a lot of staff changes. So I think it's taken us a wee while to build up that reputation again, to be the go-to people for external stakeholders. And that's something that we really have to keep trying to do. So that's the challenge, to make sure that the school is represented in a very positive way externally, and encouraging all of our staff to do that too.
So although that's a challenge, it still sounds actually like it's something that you would gain satisfaction from. So yeah. What's the thing really, I suppose, that you enjoy about the job? If you actually get time to breathe,
I'd love the people that I'm working with. Whenever I get the chance to say people, I am incredibly proud of the staff that we've got. So I love the people that I work with. Now, generally, there are always niggles, people don't always get on, but that kind of professional manner that everybody has is really important. And it's really interesting that the quinquennial review, which we've just finished, was very strong on the fact that staff were committed, were collegiate, were positive. They talked about my leadership style being very much people oriented. And I think that is my style. It's all about the people. And hopefully that spreads amongst the staff. So certainly the people I work with, and the students are great. So even although I'm not maybe teaching as much as I did before I became head of school, the absolute best time for me is when I come out of a class and think, yeah, that was it. That was really good. They got it. They enjoyed it. They were engaged. So that teaching bit never, ever leaves you, I think. Mm.
And I think it's a real compliment, so you mentioned that we've just gone through our quinquennial review, and that's not a small event in the life of a school. And I think it is a real compliment that's the thing that when colleagues are asked by that external panel what is it they want to say about the school or the leadership in the school, and the fact that they identify, I suppose, your humanity, if you like, that you recognise them as people with lives aside from work and so on. Yeah. I think that's certainly one of the things that I think marks you out as a strong head of school. And I say that today I've been writing, and I've been writing about compassion.
Okay.
So I think it's resonating particularly strongly with me today, and I think compassion is very important in a leader, particularly a leader in education.
I think so. And I remember my interview with the principal, and he said, what will people think of you, and or what do you want them to think about you? And I did say, I want them to know that I care. I care about staff, colleagues, about our students, and about the quality of the work that we do. So all of these are really, really important.
Yeah, and it'd be very easy for it to be a different answer to those questions. What do you want them to think, and what do they think? And I think what you want people to think is what they think, which is nice, because we've got evidence of it, and that's what.
And I think the other thing is that actually, if you get people working that way, I don't, or very rarely, feel I have to go to somebody and say, would you do this? We need to do this. I want to do it. More often than not, there is somebody coming to me to say, I've had an idea. could we think about this? And that's really important, that staff feel that they can come with ideas and they'll all be taken seriously. And yes, we go through the process, and Claire, you'll know all about the process for people coming with ideas and how we really, we look at things and we talk about them and decide if it's worth doing. But that idea that people feel free to come with ideas and are excited about their work, is that really pleases me.
And at the risk of you deflecting this to talk about other colleagues, what's your biggest success been so far?
Smiling all the way through. I think that sometimes it's really hard, but I'm very much a glass half full person. So I do, yeah, sometimes things are tough, but it is, we'll get this done and then we'll move on to better things. So just, I think probably my strength is that kind of almost natural optimism that things will work out, things will be fine.
Yeah, I have to say, I respect that in you as someone who is always glass half empty and generally pretty grumpy. The idea that you can smile through everything is great. So you work hard, you work long hours. How do you unwind of an evening or in the weekend?
I go walking with my dog. So I have an 18-month-old Molshi who is just taken over my life. So we got her last January and it was the best decision ever. She's lying on the window ledge as we speak, just waiting for me to ask if she wants to go out and play. So but just that, and I'm not the most energetic of people. I'm not very good at things like that. I don't like getting hot and sweaty and going to the gym, but she's really good because she gets me outside, she gets me walking, she gets the fresh air. And actually I've got to know people I didn't know before, because you meet people out walking their dogs and you end up having a conversation. Very often you don't know their names, you know the dog's name. But so she's been good, and it is just a way, getting away from the desk, from the screen or whatever. So and of course, living very close to Loch Lomond is great, because I've got beautiful scenery that I can go out and wander in, and always find. I've always said, when I retire, I want to live in a house by the water. Now, whether it's a river or a sea, whether it's the Clyde or whether it's the Med, I don't know. But water always I find very peaceful. So taking her a walk around the loch is great. And I suppose I've got to mention football. I enjoy watching football. I will say no more than that. But I do enjoy watching football. And it's been great, just as we're speaking, Scotland are out of the Euros, but what a great couple of days it was when things looked really positive. So I enjoy watching it on television, but going to watch it in person too.
Did you have a saltire hanging out your window?
No, but my neighbours had a gazebo, two saltires, a loudspeaker, somebody playing bagpipes and a drummer. So
and we still lost.
No, that was on the good night. That was on the for the England game. So we were fine. We were fine.
Thinking ahead, what are the biggest concerns you've got, or the biggest hopes you've got for teacher education in Scotland, or education more broadly, because we don't just work in the area of teacher education?
I think the kind of immediate for education, the immediate change, if you like, will come as a result of the OECD review report. I don't think we've not got horrendous concerns about education in Scotland, but we can always do better. So there's nothing that's keeping me awake at night thinking about it. But that report has identified a few things that we do need to think about, and particularly that, the broad general education moving into the later stages of education. And if things like the SQA is run in a different way, and if assessment is done in a different way, then that might impact on the way or what universities are looking for students coming. So I think there will be discussions to be had about qualifications and what are they like, and what do universities want from students coming into education. I hope that there'll be increased focus in early years, because I think we all know now the importance of early years. So that commitment by Scottish Government is really, really important, and I hope that will grow. in terms of teacher education, I hope it remains university based, but we know that that's all, you know, it's a political hot potato. I think it's a key real strength, you know, when we look at the way that we have student teachers with us and what we do with them compared to other places. I think that university education is really, really key to what we do. And I'd hope that we can look at increasing the routes into teaching without making it, you know, you look at England, there's about 30 different ways to go into teaching. I think we need to work with the Scottish Government and with the General Teaching Council to make sure that the routes that we develop will make sure we've got the quality of teachers that we need for children and young people. But also to look at the makeup of our student group so that our teachers are representative of the communities that they work with. And I think that, you know, that's a challenge. How do we do that? I would like to see us getting more involved with early career teachers. And I think, you know, something that's come from, you know, Donaldson was, 10 years ago. I think, you know, some of what Graham Donaldson said in Teaching Scotland's Future has been developed and is really good. But I think there are lots of other areas that could still be explored. So I think more opportunities for universities and teachers and local authorities to work together. And this, you know, the idea again from the OECD review about curriculum development, curriculum creation, that's something that I think we could really work really well in and hopefully develop better partnerships.
Mm-hmm. So that's a lot. What's next for you, either personally or professionally, after a long summer break?
After a long summer break for me, well, we'll see in terms of if there's going to be another term as head of school. Mm-hmm. And then probably in a few years' time, it will be time for me to sail off into the sunset and let other younger people come and take over the reins. I find it really hard to think about that. Because I'm still really excited about what I do and I really enjoy what I do. So if and when I do retire, I would still want to be involved in some way. I'm not ready to hang up everything at the moment.
Well, you know what it's like working in the School of Education. Many of us came as secondees and never left.
Yeah.
And there are then those that find it hard to leave at the other end. So
yeah, I don't want MD to be pushing me out. I'd like to wait and make the decision myself that yes it's time to move, but hopefully that'll be the way it goes when the time comes.
Yeah, and then you'll get the chance to do those trips to the water, I suppose, whether it's in the sunshine or Scotland.
Absolutely. And it's interesting because I have, in this job, I've had the chance to visit so many different countries and so many different cities. And you know, obviously I was talking to my son quite recently and saying, I'll really miss that bit of what I do. And he said, but you won't, because when you retire, you can go and enjoy these cities and you won't have to do the work bits in between. So we'll see. We'll see.
Well, thanks very much for talking to us, Linda. It's been really fascinating.
Thank you. Thank you for making it easy, Claire.
And thanks to everyone who's listened to our podcasts over the last year. We're going to pause for a short summer break, if summer ever reaches Scotland, of course. And we'll return with a new series of podcast interviews and mini lectures in August. And we look forward to you joining us then. So cheerio for now.
Thank you for listening in to our Strathclyde Education podcast series. We'll be back soon with another episode.